Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, gotta let it go. So far,
welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for January 14th, 2021. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling feed or on our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed on all podcast platforms and applications. You can follow us on Twitter at Open Voice Gate. If you would like to donate to the show, just click the link in the show notes. It will take you to our redcircle.com homepage, and you click the box that says Sponsor the Show, and you could do a one-time or recurring donation. There's no obligation whatsoever, but I would like to thank our previous donors. I am one of your hosts. It is your old pal, Iron Mike Spears. My co-host, Case Lowe, is on assignment this week. So this is the first full week of Dragon Gate's 2021 campaign, and I'm going to be talking about the kickoff show in Kyoto, the show the next day in Osaka, Edeon 2, and the doubleheader that was in Korakuen Hall. The format, I'm probably going to keep this kind of like how I did the solo shows in the past, where I just recorded my thoughts after watching each one of the four shows and then have something special for a wrap-up segment. But it's an interesting time in Dragon Gate. We ended 2020 with RED standing alone in the three-way generation war. Masquerade was ascendant, especially with the debut of La Estrella. Natural Vibes has reformed, and Team Boku is still being Team Boku. So we're deep in the unit shuffle, and as I record this on Wednesday night, we're starting to see the first pieces fall and see where people are lining up. But all in all, I thought this was a really interesting first week from Dragon Gate in 2021, and it's going to lead to a pretty remarkable 2021, all things considered, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things end up. So without any ado, let's get to the show reviews. Dragon Gate started their year in Kyoto on January 9th. They usually start the year in Kyoto. It seems to be, over the last few years, they like having their first show in front of those fans. It was at KBS Hall. Attendance was up from the last time they were there. It was up to 270, up from 255. And overall, given how this month has laid out and the fact that they have back-to-back Korakuens, and it seems like they're not doing a reunion show this year, that, you know, it got the gears running, and, you know, not a whole lot of stuff, I would say, about unit shakeup stuff. I guess they were saving it for the bigger shows in both Tokyo and Sanbo Hall. So, just starting off, it just was a solid show. There was one match that already made my notebook for this year, which I was pretty surprised with, but you know, this Kyoto venue, I mean, KBS Hall is well-renowned for being one of the more beautiful venues in all of wrestling, but over the last year or so, whenever they've appeared in Kyoto KBS Hall, they've really brought it. They never really have title matches there, but if I were to rank like their monthly stops, you know, I would probably put this one right behind Sambo in both importance and work rate. It's one of those shows that really each month they stop by Kyoto, they always put their best foot forward. And, you know, to start off the year, it was a pretty quick show. It was, if you're someone who does not watch all the mic work or the intermission, you can get in and out of the show in an hour and a half, which, you know, that's kind of insane considering the week previous there were two Wrestle Kingdoms. But the show opened with the original like mic talk. It was Yamato, Mochizuki, Dragon Kid, and Masato Yoshino. Of course, Masato Yoshino was pulled from these shows due to his neck acting up, and he looked like a guy who was dealing with a bad neck. He did make a remark that he blamed Dragon Kid for this because Dragon Kid curses things in his mind, and he just told everyone that you shouldn't, when you're forming your new units, you shouldn't have Dragon Kid. He's going to curse your unit. And he stuck around at ringside for the opening match. This was Team Boku of Ryo Saito, Bukudomo Dragon, and Punch Tominaga versus the unaffiliated team Masaki Mochizuki, Dragon Kid, and Yamato. Yamato got the win with the Frankensteiner of the Almighty in 13 minutes, 51 seconds on Punch Tominaga. I went a flat 3 for this. This was a fun opener. It was really kind of funny that Masaki Mochizuki, for a lot of this, was just beating the crap out of Ryo Saito. But whenever Bokudomo came into the match, he sold faithfully for all of the big spots there. And the other like big thing of note was Punch went for his double jump moonsault and landed right on his head. It was gnarly. And all during this match at ringside was Masato Yoshino, and he was cracking up at Bokudomo whenever Bokudomo was doing an Ultimo thing and just kind of mess it up, or whenever Punch Tominaga landed flat on his head. It was a fun opener, and that led us to our second match. This was a RED versus unaffiliated tag match. UT and Yosuke Santa Maria, the former Tri-Vanguard members, teaming up against RED's Hyo and Daya Inferno. Hyo got the win after some shady business. Like, he was able to kind of get things through. And this was probably, I think, the weakest match on the show. The finish, and a lot of that was due to the finish. It was a Daya Inferno distraction, which let Hyo do the quick, like, low blow roll up. And Daya Inferno wasn't necessarily on the same page needed to be with that. But Inferno and UT had some really fun chemistry here. I mean, 2 3/4 stars. This match didn't go much longer than 10 minutes. And, you know, it just was kind of there. And then we had our singles match on the show. It was Keisuke Okuda versus Yuzushi Kanda. Keisuke Okuda won with the good night, which is his running PK, after Yuzushi Kanda kicked out of the danger zone. And it was something that was kind of just, I mean, no, it was not the danger zone, it was lights out. He kicked out of the lights out, his GTS variant, in 8 minutes, 57 seconds. And one of, like, the nice things I've noticed over the last few years is that Yuzushi Kanda has kind of found his veteran role, especially not being a heel. And he was someone that really, in Berserk and RED, just did not feel it whatsoever. He just kind of brought down a bunch of matches because he would do his heel shtick, and he's a 40-year-old guy doing the heel shtick considering the career and the injuries he's had. Not so hot, but as just a undercard veteran babyface, he was a lot of fun. And the interesting thing about this match was this match, 8 minutes, 57 seconds. About the first 4 minutes of it, it was Kanda completely on offense and taking it to Okuda, which was kind of wild. And, you know, he kicked out lights out. That's usually Okuda's singles finisher. You mean, if he's not doing the sleeper hold or the danger zone Hurricane Rana into the triangle sleeper, usually that's the way he gets people out here. But he got a kick out there and it had the PK. I went 3 1/4 on this. This is the first match of the show and of the year to make one of my recommendations list. Just barely made it, but it was a good time. And in the post match, Punch Tomonaga came out and wanted to scrap with Okuda, and Okuda made a crack about how he just missed a double jump moonsault and he wants to try his luck again. And then Okuda put him on his ass and said, "Oh, we're going to scrap. That's okay. I'll see you in Korkin," because they have a singles match at the next Korkin show. So, you know, nice little build here. I mean, they've been building up to these Korkin shows pretty well. Then we got into match four, pre-intermission. We had the unaffiliated tag teams of Ultimo Dragon and Takedo Kamei versus Don Fuji and Kagetora. And whenever Don Fuji is in the ring of Takedo Kamei, either as a partner or as an opponent, those two just go at it. They just kind of pepper each other. This was a very light day at the office for Ultimo Dragon. Kamei got the fall for the team in 12 minutes and 36 seconds with a jackknife cradle on Don Fuji. And he just basically, like, Ultimo came in for like 2 minutes, did Ultimo spots, and, you know, just stood on the apron and let the angry young guy take a lot of it. And this was just a lot of fun. It's nice seeing Kagetora in a match that doesn't necessarily have stakes, but actually him, you know, putting forth full effort. So that was nice. And him and Kamei had some great offense. And Kamei, you know, he had a big weekend, and we'll get into it when I talk about Osaka. And in the post-match, Don Fuji was very mad about the speed of Mr. Nakagawa's count. He threw him outside of the ring, and Mr. Nakagawa took a hell of a bump there. And he was very angry because he thought Mr. Nakagawa was counting far too fast. The semi-main event was R.E.D. versus Masquerade 8-man tag team match. It was the full active Masquerade contingent: Shun Skywalker, Kota Minenora, Jason Lee, and La Estrella, versus the R.E.D. team of Ada, BB Hulk, Diamante, and Hip Hop Kakuta. It was Kota Minenora getting a pin with over Hulk with the gang in 12 minutes and 20 seconds. And I thought this was the best match on either the Kyoto KBS Hall show or the Osaka Arena 2, Edeon Arena 2 show. And just was like full force from the jump. Estrella really came along here. He got new gear, which is good because his old gear was really kind of shindy looking, and, you know, he's adding new things each time, and he's looking really strong. And Kakuta's really kind of come into his own as the bigger guy in R.E.D., at least when you compare him to a lot of people in his unit. It's not that they're short, they're just much shorter than either he, Diamante, or Kai or Kazuma Sakamoto when they're around. So, you know, I mean, he's got some nice big man move offense. The hip attacks kind of come along. It doesn't look as egregious or kind of as obnoxious. And this was just a fantastic semi-main event. Great closing stretch as well, as Kota Minenora got the win with the gang on BB Hulk. I went 4 flat on it, and it's my first Dragon Gate Notebook match of the year. The main event of the show was a R.E.D. versus Natural Vibes 6-man tag team match. Of course, Natural Vibes, they're back together. They're calling this the Natural Vibe 2021 reunion. It was all three members of Natural Vibe: KZ, Susumu Yokosuka, and Genki Horiguchi versus the R.E.D. team of Kaito Ishida, SB Kento, and Takashi Yoshida. And KZ got the win with a submission of his spider arm twist on Takashi Yoshida in 15 minutes and 7 seconds. And this was just a really nice and rowdy main event. It's great to see how much chemistry Natural Vibe still has. Of course, Yokosuka and Horiguchi, they do hold the Kyushu Pro Tag Team Championship. So they've been working with each other even after, or even during, the generational warfare. But KZ being added back into the mix was nice. Did not notice whether or not they recorded a new version of Party Anthem. That's something that I suspect they will be doing one way or another, just because Brother Yashi isn't around and he did half the lyrics for that song. But it just was a really, like, fun main event. Kaito Ishida quietly was the glue in this main event. He was the person that kept everything moving, and especially when you have a match like this that you're going kind of all out there, and you have SBK doing SBK things and Takashi Yoshida. It's nice having someone who's going to kind of conduct the heel things and really keep things going. And after the main event, after KZ submitted Takashi Yoshida, as Yoshida is one third of the Triangle Gate champion team with him and SB Kento and Kazuma Sakamoto. KZ challenged him for the Triangle Gate, and of course, Natural Vibes had a real long run with these three guys as Triangle Gate champions, so that was set up for one of the back-to-back Korakuen shows. And overall, as I said at the top, fun show. You can get through it in an hour and a half. It'll be up on the Dragon Gate Network until the 16th, and if you're going to be doing that, really, I would watch everything after the second match. It's a, and then you're probably going to get in and out in really, legitimately an hour and a half, and just was a good time and a nice start for Dragon Gate's 2021. Coming off of Kyoto, Dragon Gate went to Osaka Edeon Arena 2 for their second show of the weekend. Attendance was 331, which was massively up. The last time they were in Edeon 2, it was just 289, and it actually kind of surprises me each time, and this tells y'all how bad my memory is at times. I forget, and this is something also for people who are new to Dragon Gate, after they do Gate of Destiny, they don't run Osaka for the remainder of the year. I always forget that that's their last Osaka show of the year. They usually then, you know, it's usually at the end of the month of November, and then they'll go do Hokkaido Triple Shot, and then they'll do the rest of their TV schedule, but they won't return to Osaka. So they basically have about close to 2 months off of doing shows in Osaka. And so 331, a lot of people came out to this, and you know, just like Kyoto, this was a fun show. This did not have a match peak as high as the show in Kyoto, but there was a lot of fun stuff here. And overall, I mean, they've really got these non-Korakuen shows down. And I think some of it also is because they're going to be on such a time crunch right now with the current state of emergency in the Kanto region where Tokyo is a part of. Those shows are going to have to be 2 hours long. They have to be done by 8 o'clock. So I guess in a lot of ways, they were kind of, you know, testing their timing out a little bit with these shows. Because, again, it's if you fast forward through stuff and skip the intermission, really, it's an hour and a half show, and it was just a just genuinely enjoyable one. It opened up, as usual, with Team Boku of Ryo Saito, Bokudemo Dragon, and Punch Tominaga. This time against Natural Vibes, they went from main eventing in Kyoto to just kicking off the show in Osaka. But, you know, makes sense given who all is involved. So Natural Vibes of KZ, Genki Horiguchi, and Susumu Yokosuka. KZ got the pinfall on Punch Tominaga with a running elbow smash. And before the match, there was a mic work, just the start of the show kind of talk. And it was about how Punch Tominaga was very mad that he was not extended an immediate invitation back into Natural Vibes. He went to Ryo Saito and he said, you know, can I do both of them? Can I do that? He's like, yeah, sure. You can go do both Team Boku and Natural Vibes. But Natural Vibes were like, you know what? No, you're doing so great in Team Boku. You should focus on Team Boku. But he wore them down, and he'll be a part of the tryout, I guess, that they will be having next weekend in Kobe, which is kind of funny because Punch Tominaga's family, I thought it was Punch, but it's Punch Tominaga's family. They have a dance studio called the Tominaga Dance Factory where his dad and his mom teach dancing, and apparently that was a place where they trained in learning the dance. So I guess Punch Tominaga's dad is somewhat responsible for the Natural Vibes dance. But if there's a new dance this time and Punch Tominaga is not in Natural Vibes, I can't believe that Mr. Tominaga will let them into his dance factory this time. But it was another three-star opener. It was about what he expected to do here in this kind of opener with these six guys. It had some chances and some moments of being like a truly hot, like, you know, notable opener, but when it kind of just got going, it settled into just being pretty good. The next match was the singles match on the show was La Estrella versus Kagatora. Kagatora lost to La Estrella. La Estrella gets another win with his Libra flash pin in 6 minutes 50 seconds. This was a really fun singles match, and you know, Estrella has really grown comfortable in his character and the movesets and, you know, hitting his big spots in these matches. Kagatora was pretty motivated, and after the debut in Korakuen against Susumu Yokosuka, where the Libra Flash Pen did not look so hot. This time it looked pretty good, and we got some great flourishes, and, you know, all around, this was a good showing. Match 3 was Dragon Kid and Keisuke Okuda being an unaffiliated tag team versus SB Kento and Takashi Yoshida. Dragon Kid won by disqualification because SB Kento kept on going after his mask and then attacked the referee in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. This was mainly the DK versus SBK show. SBK was just going for the mask the entire time. It was all competent wrestling, but it really was just kind of prolonged angle, and then they continued to attack afterwards. Went 2.5 stars on this. This probably was the weakest match out of their first week in the show's back, but it's an angle. And, you know, it didn't, like, drag. It just kind of was there. What did not drag was the next match. Don Fuji and Takedo Kamei, they had such great work together in Hokkaido in December. They are back teaming, and they faced Yamato and Gamma, and it was Takedo Kamei getting the pin again with the jackknife cradle, this time on Gamma, in 13 minutes and 14 seconds. I think this was my match of the night, and I think with this performance, Takedo Kamei was kind of the wrestler of the first weekend for me. And there was just no indoor voices whatsoever in this match, and it was just basically four guys just being dickheads to each other for about 15 minutes and just chopping each other, yelling at each other, just being jerks. And it was just was really great. And the thing that kind of struck me in the opening, and something that Yamato fixated on doing during the match, was whenever something happened and with Takedo Kamei, he would get up in his face and shout out, "Come on," and then Takedo Kamei would chop him as hard as possible, which, you know, was an absolute blast. This is just a wild and ornery match. It's one of the ones where, you know, Don Fuji, Case has talked about it, Don Fuji is someone that in his 50s, but when he's given something to do, he just kind of just goes with it, and he's just brawling and just being a jerk, especially to Gamma, someone that he's teamed with a whole lot. And everyone's just kind of just a giant asshole during this match. And, you know, 3.75, this personally was my match of the night, but I totally understand people who would have either the semi-main event or the main event a bit higher. The semi-main event was an 8-man tag team match: Ultimo Dragon, Masaaki Mochizuki, Yosuke San Maria, and UT versus the RED team of Diamante, Hio, Hip Hop Kakuta, and Daya Inferno. Hio got the win again, so two wins in a weekend for Hio, as well as Kamei with his inside cradle on UT in 14 minutes and 9 seconds. Went 3.5 stars. Decent start. RED basically was just beating down on Maria. And then Hip Hop Kakuta really has gotten into his gimmick and understanding how to be a heel big guy, and just was like an absolute jerk, and it really fired up. And everything here was by the books, but it was very well done. You had your Diamante and Ultimo Dragon section. You had just everyone just kind of going at it for 15 minutes, and it was a solid match, and it was just well done. 3.5 star semi main event. Nothing really special there, but nothing bad. And it just was just like a very well done semi main event. And it's notable, Hio, again, he's now has two wins starting off the year from the guy who's basically the fall post of RED. So it makes you wonder about the unit shuffle and how things are going to go with that in some ways, because, you know, he kind of was someone on the sidelines in 2020. He did walk into the year as Triangle Gate champion, and no one should forget, Hio is the reason that Torimon had to disband, because he won that match at Kobe World and then challenged them to the Losers Disband match, so it really was Hio's trick. The main event was a Masquerade versus RED trios match. The Masquerade team was Shun Skywalker, Kota Minora, and Jason Lee. RED was Eita, BB Hulk, and Kaito Ishida, kind of the 1-3 of RED if Kai's not around. This had a super fun start, and the big thing, I had like two really big takeaways out of this match. And the first one was, this match went 18 minutes and 38 seconds. Jason Lee got the fall on BB Hulk with the Hong Kong Tornado. And this was a match that was 18 minutes long, 18 and a half minutes long. Could have really gone 25 minutes. It just felt that strong. And, you know, Jason Lee was the star of this match. He really was like a workhorse, and it's just something seeing such a delight for this guy who really came around in Maximum, just kind of was there, but he's a full roster member, and, you know, he's getting... I was really worried that he would kind of be, I guess, for lack of a better words, just cast aside and just have to be this fall pose for Masquerade, but if that's going to happen, it's not happening right now. Just was a really great main event. 3 3/4 stars. And, you know, this could very well be like a touring main event for them. I know how much Case thought that the Masquerade stuff versus RED had that 2005 feeling to it. And it really did. And it's kept up in the new year. And there was one moment in this match where Shun was doing his big fire up and his big final rush where he monkey flips Ada basically across the ring. All time great monkey flip from Ada. And it's notable that now both Kota Minoura and Jason Lee have direct falls over the Twin Gate champion. So they then proceeded to make a challenge to BB Hulk and Kai, because BB Hulk and Kai won the belts off of Kota Minoura and Yamato, because Jason Lee was held off that show. So they never lost the belts as a champion team. So they had a pretty strong claim. Hulk was kind of frustrated about it and said, yeah, fine, whatever, we'll beat you down. So that gave us our second title match for the Korkin double shot. And all in all, great first weekend for Dragon Gate in 2021. I think I like the Kyoto show a touch more than KBS Hall. I like the Kyoto KBS Hall show a touch more than the Osaka show. But really, if you have time before they go off the network, and really, you can get through both these shows in an evening. I mean, both of them, really, you have about an hour and a half of ring time each. The Osaka show will remain up on the network until the 17th. And again, just was another solid effort. And Dragon Gate came out swinging to start 2021. And with the kind of month they have in January, it's nice to see them to start have this momentum as they then proceeded to go to Tokyo for a back-to-back in Korkin.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Dragon Gate kicked off their back-to-back in Cork and Hall on the 12th with a really fun show. It was constrained by the current Kanto state of emergency. They started at 6 p.m. local time and had a hard out of 8 p.m. So even when I was saying for Kyoto and Osaka, where you could fast forward and get through the show in like an hour and a half, this one, bell to bell, was an hour 50. Like, they knew that they had a time to hit the matches that needed time, got time. Everything else was under 10 minutes. And overall, this was just another really enjoyable watch. I mean, with the restrictions, you aren't necessarily going to have the exceptional work rate matches on the undercard. But really, this was a show that was built up towards the semi-main event and the main event, so it worked out that way. And you know, there's no complaints really. I don't need to sit around for 12 minutes for a opening tag match that has Ryo Saito, Bokudomo, and Kenichiro Arai. So it was all fine, but attendance was 440, which is massively down from their end of the year show in December. Not really a big surprise, and nothing that I would be super concerned about, I guess. They had to move the start time last week. I mean, starting at 6 o'clock is going to be a hard thing to get if you're going to be working in Tokyo and getting over there for the show. And then, I mean, everyone had to be out of the building by 8 o'clock, so it all made sense. And I would be stunned if across the two shows if they didn't have like a combined attendance of 1,000. I think that would be reasonable to say. And the nice thing was for 440, it was not a silent crowd, which I've seen with other promotions. So, you know, you just kind of have to roll with the punches here. The show opened up with a Team Boku versus Free Agent tag match, as it was Ryo Saito and Bukudomo Dragon versus Don Fuji, and we got my main man Kenichiro Arai's first appearance in a Dragon Gate ring in 2020. This match went 9 minutes, 22 seconds. Bukudomo got the pin on Fuji with the La Magistral Cradle. Fuji's had some issues with getting caught in cradles and flash pins this week, and he certainly is letting Mr. Nakagawa hear about it. This was just fine. I mean, I went 2.5 stars on it. Considering 3 of the 4 people involved, not a very shenanigans-heavy match. Just kind of, they were in there. There was some comedy about it. There was a lot of Ryo Saito complained about getting hit in the face, and just pretty by the books. Nothing bad, and you know, 2.5 stars, it's average. The second match was Free Agents versus RED 8-man tag. The Free Agent side was Ultimo Dragon, Masaki Mochizuki, Yazushi Kanda, and Gamma. RED was Ada, Kaida Ishida, Hyo, and Hip Hop Kakuta. Hyo's now 3-0 to start off the year. He got the fall in this match with the same thing he's been doing pretty much since the shows came back for 2021. He hit a low blow on Yazushi Kanda and then rolled him up in 9 minutes. And I went 3 stars on this. This was a flying start with a lot of Mochizuki trying to take out all the kids to begin with. And a pretty good amount of Gamma and Mochizuki in this match. Kanda and Ultimo only really came in for their moments and their spots, but it was pretty decent. We actually got a Gamma special leading to the finish, which is, you know, you kind of have to write down when Gamma calls for the Gamma special and actually hits it. That's a noteworthy thing, but that went straight into Hyo getting the distraction, low blow, and the pinfall. Went 3 flat. Probably the most notable thing this match is now Hyo has gotten falls on every single televised show. And for someone who is the lost post of RED, that's kind of noticeable that he's been the one getting the pins, especially when you're in a tag match with Ada and Kaito Ishida. You would think one of the other two would get those falls. The singles match on the show was Keisuke Okuda versus Punch Tominaga. They've been reviving their rivalry that they've had over the Sapporo triple shot in December, where Punch Tominaga is just taking umbrage with Keisuke Okuda. Of course, Okuda actually trained in mixed martial arts and has done mixed martial arts fights. Punch Tominaga is proud that he was trained under a Gracie, but it was only for 15 minutes and he paid $100 for it. And just like before, Keisuke Okuda got the win. It was a referee decision knockout after a high kick in 3 minutes. And you know, this was a fun, I like this series of matches, especially if they aren't building up someone to be a challenger to Okuda. I mean, Punch Tominaga comes in, he attacked him right off the bat. He just kind of went kind of nuts, trying to go for a count out very quickly. And then he ate one of the gnarliest high kicks I've seen in a long time in a wrestling match and got counted out for the TKO. After the match, Keisuke Okuda grabbed the microphone and said, "I don't know what your issue is, man, but each time you try to step to me, you get put down. If you keep on wanting to do this, the end result's going to be the exact same. You're going to get knocked out. So, you know, you might want to choose your fights a little bit wiser in the future." Match 4 was an interesting tag match because it was a trios match. Because Dragon Daya is out, Dragon Kid is kind of filling his role as a free agent. I mean, Kid is Daya's mentor, so he joined up with the Masquerade members Shun Skywalker and La Estrella versus the free agents of Yamato, Tsuji, Kondo, and Kagetora. Shun Skywalker got the pin in 9 minutes and 13 seconds with the SSW, and I really enjoyed it. I went 3.5 stars to this. This was really kind of a Estrella show, as things are wont to do. He's really started to come together and has been really kind of an exciting guy to watch, and especially he did a 619 bulldog, which was kind of nuts. And there was a really nice exchange with Yamato and Dragon Kid, and there was a sequence where Dragon Kid did a slingshot over the top rope to Harris onto the floor, and that was followed up by Estrella doing a no-touch Bermuda Triangle or Orihara moonsault. That was just absolutely nuts. Estrella is just breaking the laws of physics. And it's interesting because very early it seemed like he was going to be kind of like a Shugi, just you can't look away kind of guy. He's going to be like Sugi in that regard. But he's really come together and he's gotten really a lot more crisp. And it's not that he's reckless. I think maybe the first few matches you could maybe mark it up as nerves because everything has been crystal and clean in it. It is noted that in the match leading up to the finish that Dragon Kid did Masato Yoshino's Komori, which is Yoshino's over the ropes. Instead of the tarantula that Yoshihiro Tajiri does, this is a one that is over the top ropes, but it is a head scissors. And, you know, Yoshino doesn't do that move a lot, but Jay on commentary really pointed out that, hey, Dragon Kid is doing that move. And then there was a reason for it, as in the post-match, Dragon Kid said that as a part of Masato Yoshino's retirement tour, where he wants to give his old moves to younger wrestlers, like how Takeda Kamei got the Torbellino, he wanted La Estrella to get the Komori, and it was kind of played up the fact that Dragon Kid doesn't know whether or not Estrella actually speaks Japanese, and he was like, well, you know, if you don't take it, then I guess I will. Then Shun stepped and said, no, he understands what you're saying, he'll take the move, so... Pretty interesting. So we already have two of Yoshino's moves given out, and it makes you wonder if someone is going to get the Sol Naciente or the Lightning Spiral. And then after that, a lot of his big trademarks, I mean, the Torbellino being given to Kamei was a big one. Komori's a big move, but it's not a move that I don't remember last time Yoshino actually did the Komori. So it was kind of interesting the fact that this move even happened. So it makes you wonder if someone's going to get like the baseball lariat or the big double stomp off the top ropes into an armbar or just the missile dropkick. Makes you kind of wonder. The semi-main event was a preview match for the Open the Triangle Gate match that happens on the 13th, the next day in Korkin. It was the Natural Vibes trio of KZ, Susumu Yokosuka, and Gigi Horiguchi going up against the Open the Triangle Gate champion team of RED of Takashi Yoshida, Kazuma Sakamoto, and SB Kento. The fall in the preview was Horiguchi getting the backslide from heaven on Yoshida after there was a bit of miscommunication and SB Kento kind of just forearmed him from the Yoshida in the apron over Gingi's shoulders to be able to get the flash pin. And you know, this was a really solid prelude match. It was kind of interesting that they did a flying start that very quickly Susumu Yokosuka grabbed Takashi Yoshida's chain and started choking him out, which was kind of funny. And this was like the first match that I've noticed that SB Kento was more on the defensive as Natural Vibes kind of got the better of it. And then there was a moment where Yoshida was going for the turnbuckle pad rip so that you'd send his opponent into the turnbuckles, but instead it was another miscommunication between him and SB Kento, and the camera caught him as he did it, and he looked absolutely flabbergasted. I went 3.5 stars on this, just like I went for 3.5 stars on the fourth match. Just another really solid preview and worth checking out. And then the post-match, Yoshida and SBK agreed to put this match behind them. Yoshida pointed out, said like, hey, if we have miscommunication again, we're going to lose these belts, so let's put this behind us. And then he said a whole bunch of gibberish, and they wanted to get on the same page leading into tomorrow. The main event of the first Korkin of the year for Dragon Gate was an Open the Twin Gate Championship match, RED versus Masquerade, as BB Hulk and Kai, representing RED, defended the belts against a team that never lost the belts, the previous champion team of Kota Minoura and Jason Lee of Masquerade. RED would retain in 18 minutes and 18 seconds after a first flash from BB Hulk onto Jason Lee. This became RED's third successful defense, and I thought this was truly exceptional. I thought that they did this match in a very, very smart manner, and it's not necessarily the kind of match that you see a whole lot. This was pretty methodical. The whole concept about this match, and it was all built on something in the opening, was that RED was able to isolate both members of Masquerade so they weren't able to really go for double team moves or be able to tag in or out. So in a lot of ways, it became a sequence of handicap segments, because in the opening, Kai did this incredibly brutal powerbomb onto the apron of Jason Lee. And Jason Lee just was sold it like he was out cold for the next 3 to 4 minutes. And then it was a 2-on-1 attack where Kota Minoura kept on trying to claw out and claw to his corner, but Jason Lee wasn't moving, and they just beat him down pretty much to a pulp. And then finally Jason Lee came in for the hot tag, and he was just clawing back, and he was able to get a sequence and get some momentum, but then he was still selling from the terrible apron power bomb, and he wanted to try to go tag out, but because Kota Minoura took all the offense while Jason Lee was recovering from the powerbomb, Minoura wasn't on the apron either, so they kept on beating them down. And that led into a very interesting sequence and final stretch where Masquerade got on offense, but because of how much Jason Lee was selling, and this was some tremendous work from the Masquerade team, especially for a guy like Kota Minoura who's still in his third year of wrestling. He's still 22 or 21. Like, he's still kind of a baby, and he's able to understand that kind of selling. And I think a lot of that comes from because Jason Lee was just superb throughout the match. And because they were selling so much, and since Jason Lee was so effective at selling the back, the Masquerade offense and double team moves weren't as crisp as it was when they were Twin Gate champions, because you're selling and your back's hurting, so you're not able to necessarily, you know, lift people up or be able to hold on to people as well as you could. So the Masquerade offense wasn't as effective, and they kept on trying. There was a moment where Jason Lee was going for the Hong Kong tornado, but it was stopped, and then they did this gross thing where Jason Lee was on the turnbuckle backwards ready to go for the tornado, and then Kai picked him up off the turnbuckle, powerbombed him, and then Kota Minoru, who was in the other corner, was lifted up top, and then Hulk carried him over for an EVO on top of Jason Lee, and then he went for the FTX, and it was really exciting stuff. And then when it broke down and became Kota Minoru and Kai, they were just cracking each other, and the whole idea that Kai was shrugging everything off until Kota Minoru really got him good with an elbow smash. And then there was a sandwich final or first flash into that FTX, and that led into a Meteo Impact in the final flash for the win, and RED retained. And that concluded the show. There was a quick post-match segment, as it was like 7:50 in Tokyo, where Hulk grabbed the microphone and he essentially said, well, it's 2021. We're going to make sure that this is going to be a real extreme year, and we're going to color the ring of Dragon Gate red as we are RED. And that was it. That was the first Korakuen of the year, the first night of their double shot in Tokyo. And, you know, it was an incredibly easy watch. I mean, hour 50, really. And Jay was solo on commentary, and Jay was just his usual solid stuff. Like, he was making jokes in the opener about how everyone really wanted to hear Separados on the live stream. Well, the Separados live stream that we have at home is the Bokudomo version, so that's what you're going to get. And then called Jason Lee the master. No, sorry, not Jason Lee. Hyo, the master of Bobby Hill offense, because you could pretty much hear in your head, "Give me back my purse, I don't know you," each time Hyo kicked low and then got the finish. So, exciting show, and it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays into the next night, and especially as the unit scramble is still kind of being figured out, and there is no big steps in any direction off the show. The second half of Dragon Gate's doubleheader in Korakuen was on the 13th, and it will be up on the network until the 20th. Attendance for the show was up from the night before. Instead of 440, it was 548, so has them within a small throw of 1,000 combined for the doubleheader, which, you know, given the restrictions and given the fact that shows had to start earlier and get out at 8, getting 1,000 combined is, it's not great, to be honest, but it's not anything that is worrisome. I think that it's just the environmental sign of the times, and I mean, this is a company that drew 715, the first true sellout of the Korakuen COVID era in December. Overall, another 2.5 hour show flew by. It was another very easy watch. Jay on English commentary did another outstanding job, and it's an easy watch. I would say that the matches peaked higher on the night before, but there was nothing on this show that I thought was bad or kind of took up time. It just, with the restrictions and everything, and given the fact that there was a lot of angles and storylines on the second Korakuen, it kind of lowered the ceiling in a way, but it had a lot of interesting things. And I mean, hey, another show that's like, this whole entire week they've been getting in and getting out incredibly watchable stuff, and I still had one match that was 4 stars or better. I have the written review of this, is already up at voicesofwrestling.com. Show opened up with a 6-man tag team match, all unaffiliated guys, Don Fuji, Tsuji Kondo, and Gamma. On one side, Yasushi Kondo, Kenichi Arai, and Kagetora on the other. Kondo got the pin on Kanda with a King Kong Lariat in 8 minutes and 10 seconds. He hit 2 of them in succession to get the win. And, you know, this is a match where you look at the guys, you're like, wow, there's a lot of people who have a tendency of disappearing and taking nights off, but they put their best foot forward, and given what it was, I went 2¾ star. Kagetora looked solid in this, and Tsuji Kondo was the other real standout from here. And then we had a tag team match. This was a really kind of a battle of former Mochizuki Dojo guys, as you had former Mochizuki Dojo team of Misaki Mochizuki and Keisuke Okuda, of course they're unaffiliated right now, going against the RED team of Eita and the other former Mochizuki Dojo member Hyo. And Hyo made it 4-for-4 with his Bobby Hill special low blow roll up. This time it was on Misaki Mochizuki, which, other than him winning the Triangle Gate to close out 2019, probably one of the bigger wins in Hyo's career, and kind of subverted my expectations, because when you see someone like Hyo get all these falls, you kind of figure, okay, they're planning something for him. He's not someone that they always just kind of book and keep strong. They have a reason for this. But so I came in this match expecting that he would do the Bobby Hill special on Keisuke Okuda, but instead it was on Misaki Mochizuki. And this was 6 minutes and 21 seconds. Quick 3-star match. Like, everyone played their role. It was actually kind of funny in the start. It was Eita in the ring, but then Hyo was nowhere to be seen because he crawled underneath the ring to go clear across under the ring to the other side to start to attack Misaki Mochizuki to start the match. And I thought that that was kind of funny to start. In the post-match, the big blood feud must continue as Punch Tominaga came out, challenged Keisuke Okuda yet again after getting his butt knocked out the night previous. And Keisuke Okuda was kind of confused, thinking, did you like lose blood flow to your head? Like, did you forget that this happened? Yeah, I'll face you. And then we had that impromptu singles match, Keisuke Okuda defeating Punch Tominaga in 11 seconds with a sleeper hold. I mean, it's just continuing that storyline for whatever reason that's going to. Maybe eventually Punch Tominaga is going to get a Brave Gate shot out of this. I mean, who knows is getting the next Brave Gate shot now that I'm kind of thinking about it. And the funny thing was that already scheduled as match 3 was a match with Punch Tominaga in it. And he just laid pass out in the ring as his partner Ryo Saito came out, as we had a special tag team match. This was the Double Dragons that was set up at the Korakuens from last year, where Ultimo Dragon decided to team with Bokudomo Dragon, and they were facing off against Ryo Saito and Punch Tominaga. And this was a really lighthearted but fun comedy match. It went 9 minutes and 28 seconds with a double Logma draw from the Double Dragons onto the Team Boku team. And it just was kind of funny because you had Ultimo doing all of his trademark moves very crisply, the way you expect someone like Ultimo Dragon to perform them. And then you have Bokudomo imitating them, and I mean, just kind of doing it in the Shimizu way that he's proficient. He knows how to do the moves. It's just that he's kind of clumsy, and nothing looks exactly how it should. So it was a pretty funny match. In the post-match, we had Ultimo asking Saito and Tominaga to join them as dragons. And I guess this is something for them to do while Naruki Doi is on the shelf recovering from his nerve surgery on his elbow. And it seems like that they accepted it, and that it might be that Punch Tominaga would be called Punch Tomo Dragon, and Saito will be Bokudomo Dragon number 2. So keeps everyone busy, and it was just kind of a fun time. Match 4 was a Masquerade versus RED 8-man tag team match. The RED side was BB Hulk, Kai, Kaito Ishida, and Hip Hop Kakuta, and it was the full active Masquerade contingent of Shun Skywalker, Kota Minor, Jason Lee, and La Estrella for Masquerade. Kai got the win in 9 minutes and 41 seconds with immediate impact on Jason Lee. So, following up on the match that they had the night before, and I really enjoy this for like a sub 10 minute kind of sprint. This was a really just kind of excellent display of how this match has kind of become the house match over the last 2 months, or at least since Masquerade has formally been announced and joined, and just played off of the whole Jason Lee selling his back from the night before. They immediately went after him, and then in a funny spot, Hyo was at ringside and he has his giant post or pencil. Jay calls it a pencil, and it's yellow. So it's a pencil. And Kaito Ishida took his box lid and he swung the box lid into the back of the pencil, driving it into Jason Lee. And of course, the box broke, and maybe not broke, it cracked, or something happened where he wedged the pencil into the top of the lid. And they were all kind of just going like, wow, I really clocked that thing. And it was kind of funny, whenever they cut to the ringside, you would see the box lid with the giant pencil sticking up. Again, Kai won with the Meteo Impact. It was just very solid stuff. I enjoyed this a great deal. Estrella is making another step forward. I thought he looked great here as well. I went 3 3/4. The semi-main event was a special singles match. Actually, only the fourth time that these two have faced each other in singles matches, which is kind of remarkable. It's Yamato and Dragon Kid. When you think that they've only really teamed together briefly in Kamikaze and then in Junction 3, so that they've almost constantly been in opposing factions, but they just haven't had singles matches. So this was the fourth one. And it went to a no contest in 15 minutes and 49 seconds because Kai came in and interfered. And I like this match even with a no contest, even with the non-finish. I thought this was my match tonight. I went 4 flat on it just because Dragon Kid really got over the grappling that Yamato does. And longtime listeners will know I, Mike Spears, not a tremendous fan of Yamato's grappling. It always kind of feels heatless. It feels like that it's being done to do grappling and it's not necessarily an intent. And that's not all on Yamato. That's also on whomever he's facing. But Dragon Kid's knee got targeted and he was selling it all throughout the match. There was a moment where he went for the Bermuda Triangle on the outside. And when he landed, he immediately like buckled his knee. And I thought that was a really smart way of kind of selling it. And it was a match where Yamato was just trying to find a way to put down Dragon Kid. And Dragon Kid just getting like, just only like spurts of offense. It wasn't even like that he was consistently in control, just with survival. And right as Yamato was going for the Galleria for the finish, Kai came out and we had the no contest. Again, went 4 stars. So this was my favorite match on the show. After the RED attack, Kai pointed out that neither of them had anyone to make the save, and it was clearly towards Yamato, but then Dragon Kid pointed out that it wasn't just Yamato's match he ruined, it was also his. And during this, Kai said, well, SB Kento unmasked you at Final Gate, and we want to do that again, and that you're rather ugly. So Dragon Kid was eager to prove them wrong, and Yamato was kind of reluctant, a reticent. I mean, he remembered what Masato Yoshino said about no one should team with Dragon Kid. He's a curse. But we're getting a special match on the February 5th Korkin with SB Kento and Kai versus Yamato and Dragon Kid. And have more to say about it after I talk about the main event. The main event of the doubleheader, the second night, was the Open the Triangle Gate Championship match with RED making the third defense. The RED champion team was SB Kento, Takashi Yoshida, and Kazuma Sakamoto against challengers Natural Vibes, one of the longest tenured Triangle Gate champions in the company's history, KZ, Susumu Yokosuka, and Genki Horiguchi. RED fell in their third defense. Natural Vibes becomes the 71st Open the Triangle Gate champion team, and this starts this particular Natural Vibes team's second reign as a champion team. The finish was KZ submitting Takashi Yoshida with his spider twist submission after SB Kento misfired on an elbow strike. And this went 13 minutes and 43 seconds. So when you really look at like title matches, not a tremendous amount of time was given to this. And it was either something about the match, like it was a very good match. I went 3 3/4, but it didn't peak as high as I would expect, especially considering KZ and Kazuma Sakamoto have some absolutely tremendous chemistry. KZ sells like sells excellently. Like he is one of the better babyface underdogs in the company's history. And that chemistry was great, but there was something missing. I don't know if it was the fact that they had to hit a time cue so they could do the post-match stuff, or just the relative reluctance of the fans to really get invested above clapping. Like, that's usually not an issue for Dragon Gate during COVID. Like, the fans will just say, nah, we don't care about the restrictions. We really like this guy and we're going to cheer for him regardless, or I'm not going to be able to control myself from like shouting out a crowd call. So it was something like a little bit missing from it. And of course, leading up to this match, the whole story was if Yoshida and Kento could stay on the same page. There was a couple spots where like they were trying to act like that they were on the same page, but eventually in the finish, everything fell apart. Kento clocked Yoshida, and that led directly into the finish. Again, 3 3/4, but the more important thing about this match was the post-match. So in the post-match, Yoshida and SB Kento finally exploded. SB Kento snapped on a rookie attendant. I didn't recognize who it was. He's one of the guys who's on the future shows that they do pre-shows now. And Kazma pulled him back and started to like bark at him. And then Takashi Yoshida grabbed the microphone and he said he was calling off the Kai and SB Kento match versus Yamato and Dragon Kid next month because he hated this kid from the jump and he hated that he was even a part of RED. And everyone in RED was kind of going like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Yoshida unilaterally ejected SB Kento from RED. But as soon as Takashi Yoshida beckoned the group to attack SB Kento, turned out to be a total ruse. It was a double cross. Takashi Yoshida got beat down by all of RED, and he was the one ejected. So Takashi Yoshida now is out of RED. SB Kento seems to be a solid part of it, and willing to wager that that's not the only person who will be ejected from RED over the next few months. SBK grabbed the microphone and made it official. The match in February will still happen, so we know one match for the February Korakuen, that SBK and Kai versus Yamato and DK match. He threw Yoshida's chain back at him. They left him in the ring lying. Yoshida was left alone in the ring and wanted someone to teach him pro wrestling, which is something that Takashi Yoshida has said a lot. If you listen to KSMI's Rewind and Rewatch series, we're currently at a part where actually Cyber Kong is doing the exact same thing. He was kicked out of Mad Blanky and he was trying to find people to teach him pro wrestling, and he always likes to go up to Masaki Mochizuki and beg him to teach him wrestling, and usually ends up being more trouble than it's worth for Mochizuki. So Natural Vibes saw this happening. They're like, we're champions now, bye, we're good. And then they left ringside, and then he actually called out Masaki Mochizuki, and Mochizuki came out and said, why do you want me to teach you wrestling? You've been wrestling for 17 years, almost a generation. You know how to do pro wrestling. And then it kind of was like, okay, fine, you can be my apprentice. I've done this before and I'll do it again. Come aboard. And then the two left the ring. So looks like that we have Mochizuki and Yoshida right now forming something. And then along with what seems to be forming something with Yamato and Dragon Kid, that does seem to be that match. I wouldn't be surprised if something more solid comes out of that. And that left Natural Vibes in the ring to conclude the show as the new Open the Triangle Gate champions and talk about their big open audition that they're going to have on Sunday in Kobe, when they will be doing an open dance audition at Kobe Sambo Hall to flesh out the Natural Vibes roster. And, you know, another breezy show. It's something where I still don't think it peaked as much as the night before, but it did what needed to happen to really move around unit shift stuff. So you have Yoshida out of RED. Natural Vibes, by the time we'll do the weekly update next week, should either have new members or they'll be moving in direction of this. And then we have the Dragon Kid and Yamato tag team, which seems to be forming one as well. It's going to be interesting. Like, it looks on like the surface to me, night one was for the work rate. Night two was for the angles. And that's fine. You know what I mean? If you watch these shows like back to back, you're getting through them in 4 hours. So, I mean, that's a lot of wrestling to watch at one time. But it was all effective. I thought it was all really well done stuff. Closing out the show, we have a new segment. It's something Case pitched, and it's something that I think will be fun to track as we go along this year. So, with Dragon Gate back the way it is, and the way that at least I can only speak for myself. I think Case is of a similar mindset of how we kind of evaluate talent, and especially looking at the promotion week to week, and especially doing weekly updates. We thought it'd be interesting to track who we thought was the best person of the week, who had the best overall performance, who stood out, you know, just an overall week MVP. Case is calling it Winner of the Week, so it's his idea, so we're sticking with that name. And my Winner of the Week is Jason Lee, and that is pretty much because of when I do my spreadsheet, just scoring matches, rating everything, and thinking about the Twin Gate match on the 12th, he might be one of the top 20 wrestlers working today. And it's something that he's very kind of done this under the radar. He's very quiet about it, but it's really remarkable the kind of performances that he and really the entirety of Masquerade have had this week. So my personal choice was Jason Lee. I do have a couple notes from Case. Case's Winner of the Week is La Estrella. He thinks that La Estrella has just really stepped forward, and I agree too. And his improvements and the crispness that he's done and the way that he's become really a highlight of these Masquerade tag matches is what gave Case the reason to name him his Winner of the Week. So for the first week of 2021 in Dragon Gate season, we are going to go with Jason Lee and La Estrella as our winners of the week. It'll be a fun thing to kind of track and see who gets the most winners of the week by the end of this year. I guess they'd be the winner of the year in that case. But also, I had a couple notes from Case, as he'll be back next week. He had a couple notes on the shows that he was able to watch so far this week. He said that he didn't go higher than four star. He didn't go four stars on anything in Kyoto and Osaka. I had four stars on one of the things. So he was a little bit more down, it seems like, than I was on these shows. He is astounded by Estrella's progress. I mean, he is Case's Winner of the Week, so of course he would be. And then he also, as an aside, he is angry at how right I was about this whole Yamato, Hulk, and Yoshida situation, which, I mean, I like speaking things into existence, but I like speaking things into existence that'd be to everyone's benefit. And I know that Yamakong was a really strong tag team during Matt Blanky, but, you know, I would love to get the four of them away from the Twin Gate titles, but that's just me, though. And yeah, that's pretty much going to be it for this week. We do not really have a card for the Kobe Sambo Hall show on the 17th. It will be on the network, as all Kobe Sambo Hall shows are. The only thing we really know is that there will be the Natural Vibes open audition, see who might join the group. If I were to guess two people who I think will end up joining this group, if it's either through this auditions or just because it seems like that these two would be good fits and would fit in with the other three, I'm leaning towards Yosuke Sanmaria and UT. I feel like that those two could really flesh out the unit, and Maria's got dance moves, so she could do something there, and I think UT teaming with like Susumu Yokosuka would be a lot of fun as well. And that's going to do it. So you can follow the podcast at Open Voice Gate. Case will be back next week, and his Twitter account is _inyourcase. And you can follow me on Twitter at Fujihaya. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Voice Gate. Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.